So I have the honor of introducing the next speaker, and that is Lieutenant Governor Sue Ellersperman. Lieutenant Governor Ellersperman serves as the 50th Lieutenant Governor of Indiana. I have truly enjoyed the opportunity to get to know Sue as we've interacted on various issues and to serve as a colleague of hers. She's dynamic, she's thoughtful, and with a background in economic development and her expertise on agriculture issues, I believe she is a perfect voice to have at today's hearing. In her role as Lieutenant Governor, Sue manages six state agencies, including the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, the Office of Small Business and Entrepreneurship, and the Office of Tourism Development, just to name a few. We are deeply honored to have Sue join us for today's event, so please join me in welcoming the Lieutenant Governor to the podium.
Well, thank you, Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, for that warm introduction, and thank you all for the opportunity to be here and share with you news about Indiana agriculture in this coming year. We share Iowa's obvious enthusiasm for agriculture, including the very important issue that's here before us today. So I want to thank Governor Branstad, Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey, the state of Iowa, for your leadership in ensuring the views for the heartland are really understood not only by EPA, but our own residents. I know I speak for all of us here from Indiana and the Midwestern states who really appreciate the efforts you've put into these hearings today. So thank you very much. In Indiana, one of my statutory responsibilities is I serve as the Secretary of Agriculture as well as Lieutenant Governor. And over the last year, I just completed my 92-county tour, all the counties in Indiana, where I met with Hoosiers, including family farmers, agribusinesses, agricultural leaders in every county across the state. And when I asked them about the business climate, they mirrored what you heard from Governor Branstad, that they're upbeat, almost unanimously upbeat, about agriculture in our state. Our farmers and producers are some of the hardest working and most successful in the nation. In fact, Indiana ranks fourth in the nation in both corn and soybeans. While we're thrilled with the progress of agriculture in Indiana, we're looking for many more ways for the state to have the impact of agriculture. And so last fall, we announced a Food and Agriculture Innovation Initiative. The goal of that initiative is to establish an entity that will facilitate synergy and collaboration among highly innovative companies and universities, resulting in a Center for Agriculture and Food Production Research and Application. Well, if you know Indiana, we've already have a very good start with some of our industries like Dow AgriScience and Elanco and the seed production work of Beck Hybrids and the hog breeding at Whiteshire Hamrock and many others, all providing a critical mass of research in these arenas. But we also are home to Purdue University, one of our world's greatest agricultural colleges, ranked sixth in the world, as well as Indiana University with the research in nutrition sciences. It's just good for us to look into the future. And as we look at 2013, we had record yields in Indiana. Along with several other states, of course, Indiana produced a record 1.035 billion bushels of corn with 177 bushel average per acre. Soy also saw some of those promising numbers with 265 million bushels in 2013. Huge turnaround from the previous year. It was wonderful but not surprising to see Indiana farmers join other farmers in the Midwest delivering incredible yields in 2013, setting a national corn crop production record at nearly 14 billion bushels. While these are great numbers for Indiana and our nation, that surely cannot be said about EPA's new RFS proposed targets. As we all know, the EPA proposal would cut nearly 3 billion gallons of biofuel that was originally to be blended in the nation's fuel supply, totaling approximately 15 billion gallons of biofuel to be blended in 2014. That's 16% less than the 18.15 billion gallons mandated under the renewable fuels law. For ethanol, the new requirement announced would lower to just 13 billion gallons. These new proposed levels will be very detrimental to the ethanol industry in the Hoosier state. To put things in perspective, the amount of ethanol cut in the EPA proposal is nearly identical to the 1.3 billion gallons the 11 ethanol plants in our state produce annually, nearly identical. Furthermore, the biodiesel cut from 1.7 billion gallons to 1.28 billion gallons will impact the largest integrated soy biodiesel plant in the country residing in Indiana, producing 88 million gallons of biodiesel annually and putting many Hoosiers to work. Since 2007, the RFS and biofuels have been critically important to the success of Hoosier farmers and have been an economic lifeline to rural communities in Indiana, which have so needed that investment, as you heard here in Iowa as well. So here are just a few of the benefits that ethanol has delivered in Indiana. One ethanol job creates nearly five additional jobs. 3,575 Hoosier jobs have been created directly or indirectly by the ethanol industry. The Indiana ethanol industry has invested $1.5 billion in direct capital since 2006 and a $500 million increase in our gross state product. And overall, Indiana ranks fifth nationally in ethanol production with almost 8% of the capacity. If the EPA proposal comes to pass, we've heard what will happen to corn prices. They will fall, possibly below the levels of the cost of production. If the price of corn drops to $3.50 a bushel, farmers and rural communities across the nation could lose over $10 billion. The production and use of biofuels that are grown and developed in the Hoosier heartland boasts the state economy and helps break the nation's dependence on foreign oil. As a nation, it is absolutely vital that we increase our domestic energy supply, create efficiency standards for our automakers, and encourage the production of renewable fuels such as ethanol and biofuels. Creating a robust RFS plan is not only sound economic policy, but the right thing to do for our national security. Diversification strengthens the marketplace. Why shouldn't we want to do the same for our nation's fuel supply? RFS was enacted by Congress in 2005. While it wasn't perfect, it was a starting block for us as a nation to create a deliberate path for becoming more fuel and more energy independent. EPA's current rules proposal undermines current positive momentum, essentially pulling the rug right out from under the feet of those who have invested in this promising set of technologies and industry. This proposal is backtracking on the accomplishments made in the past 10 years. It hurts jobs. It hurts the economy. It hurts our nation's security and energy dependence. And it disproportionately hurts the heartland. We need to stay the course towards a strong portfolio of fuels and energy sources, biofuels, wind, solar, coal, and oil. The ethanol industry is on the cusp of increasing blender pump infrastructure available to increase those fuel selections to the consumer. However, this proposal from the EPA has jeopardized the addition of those pumps. As we've seen in industries across the spectrum, the biofuels industry continues its steady advancements with new, innovative technologies that are ever more efficient and more valuable to the U.S. market. Governor Pence and I encourage the ethanol industry to continue making those technological strides in process, development, and use. The future is extremely bright for these fuels and the innovations behind them. We understand the EPA is working through difficult issues in areas of disagreement. Indiana will continue to work with EPA to help increase ethanol usage by overcoming the technology and infrastructure barriers. Indiana is producing more corn and more soy than ever in the state's history, and we will continue to be among the nation's leaders in production regardless of the outcome. However, it is our firm hope that the EPA will implement a sound RFS that puts our nation's green to very good work. So thank you again for the opportunity to be with you today. You will hear from Indiana's Director of Indiana State Director of Agriculture shortly, and our whole contingent yet later this morning. But we are so pleased and privileged to be with you here in Iowa representing the Heartland today. Thank you.